Thank you. Hello and welcome to the third series of Heresy, the discussion programme that sets out to challenge received opinion. And by received opinion, I mean anything from the Beatles are the best band ever to how on earth could Tracy Temple do it without being sick? You know, people tend to say to me, when's fantasy football coming back? Very few people talk to me about Heresy, to be honest, but those who do say, is it meant to be a comedy show or a serious discussion programme? Well, it's both. It's a hybrid, yes. And just to prove it, I'm going to end this bit without any laughs. Good. Helping me storm the barricades of received opinion tonight are man of letters and Guardian film critic Peter Bradshaw, comedian and spectacle wearer Sue Perkins, and the jolly, friendly-faced, happy... Oh, sorry, yes, the fat one, out of Leon Herring, Richard Herring. So let's move straight on to our first received opinion of the evening.
I felt I needed to tell my side of the story and let people know the truth. But I never, ever thought that I would have had to actually do anything like this.
That was, in fact, Tracy Temple, and we're hearing from her because her behaviour surely exemplifies tonight's first received opinion, which is, it doesn't matter what you look like, it's what's underneath that counts. Even in this particular case, what was underneath the toad face and the beer gut was a sex pest with a penis the size of a cocktail sausage. According to newspaper allegations, at least. Anyway, 90% of tonight's audience agreed with the statement, it doesn't matter what you look like, it's what's underneath that counts, which I think is really high, actually, because I thought this was a received opinion people don't really think is true, but just really would like to be true. But what do you think, Richard Herring?
I agree with you, David, it isn't true at all.
No.
People like would say that because they think, well, it would be nice to think that I'm gone for someone's personality, but you go for the most attractive person you're capable of getting.
Yes.
And that's what it comes down to. And, you know, most of us aren't going out with Angelina Jolie, so we have to say that. You know, we're probably going out with someone less attractive than Angelina Jolie or Brad Pitt, so we have to say, yeah, well, I like her personality. That's what's the best thing about her. She's not that good looking. So I think, you know, I think it's a way through, you know. For that. I mean, it's because we had this week, I heard that it was 103-year-old woman has married a 33-year-old man.
Mm.
That would happen all the time if personality was most simple. We'd all be marrying old women, wouldn't we?
Yeah, it's true.
Because old women have the nicest personalities of anyone.
Do you think... I think they're a bit too obsessed with biscuits.
Well, yeah. David, as you've said, I like biscuits, as you pointed out.
Yeah, you... Actually, I'm surprised you're not with a really old woman. Sue.
Yes.
You're gay.
Yes.
No, I'm pointing that out. Simply
Hello,
because
Mum. Mum, something I should tell you.
Your mum's gay.
We've come from a long line of gays in my family. How we've bred, I've no
that
idea.
Possible, yeah. No, the reason I brought that was not purely gratuitous, or partly gratuitous, obviously, but is that in men gay culture, in the guy gay, what do you call it? In men. Homosexuals aren't women.
Gay.
That lot.
Yeah. Yes.
They're just obsessed with looks, aren't they? That's all they worry about. They're big body fascists. Would that be true of the female gay community or not?
Well, I think the female gay community has this kind of cosy veneer of, ooh, you know, we're so sort of sisterly and together and we like to sort of weave our pubic hair and go on sort of, you know. The point is, of course, they're driven by what people look like as every other kind of community, because we have eyes, you know, we have primary sort of senses that attract us to people.
Mm.
There's a reason that we start by finding people physically attractive and then move from that point onwards. And sort of gay women are exactly the same in that respect.
I think if you have the choice, if someone looks brilliant and has a horrible personality, I think I'd last longer with them than someone who looked really horrible and had just had a brilliant first.
Do you think?
I think I would.
What about the fact that eventually we all look horrible?
Well, I think you kind of meet people when they look all right, don't you? And then you get committed to them and then you sort of have to stay. That's how it works.
Right.
It's kind of rude, it's impolite, because you both degrade naturally together.
Do. Yeah.
I think what's outside is very important, like the clothes they wear, the car they have, the house, very important, obviously. Yeah.
Well, that brings up another thing, Peter, if I could bring you, which is that there is another received opinion which kind of spins off this one, which is the belief that women are more interested in kind of status and power and money, basically, and men are only interested in looks. There's two types of shallowness.
Well, I certainly think that's how John Prescott got laid. I mean,
what
other explanation can there be? I think it's that there is an element of sexism that it matters much less for men than for women. I think that probably is true. You have to look at any news reading duo, and the old ugly one will be the man.
Yes.
I won't mention names. Bill Turnbull. BBC One. Lovely man and really nice personality, yeah. Actually, Bill Turnbull.
Face like dead leaves.
Face like dead leaves.
Dead lovely leaves, yeah.
Dead leaves.
Yeah.
You could walk through it and there'd be a rustling.
Yeah, he reminds
me
of autumn.
I tried it, yeah. But, I don't know, it's completely meaningless, the idea of what's inside that counts. What's inside is governed by how people react to you. Mm. And they react to you on the basis of what's on the outside. So I think this idea of what's on the inside that counts is...
Because the elephant man, the elephant
man. It's not just wrong, it's meaningless.
I've seen the film, the elephant, he's a lovely bloke.
He is a lovely bloke.
But could he get a bird? No.
No. Well, he could, you know.
Could
he had lots of shags. Yeah, they had to cut it out for the film.
What, you're telling me there's an X-rated elephant man?
Yeah, you see, watch the deleted scenes on DVD. And it's sex. Yeah.
Does the elephantitis affect the actual...
Yeah. Oh,
well, no,
yeah.
Because as you saw, his genitals are actually on his head. I mean, obviously, I think the biggest indictment of this is of this particular received opinion is I actually put into Google looks don't matter. Mm. And the first hit I got was a website which was ChristianityToday.com. That's who thinks looks don't matter is Christians, isn't it? Those are the people.
And Jesus.
Well, no, he was quite a handsome bloke, you
see.
Well,
no, but he doesn't care. He's interested in what's
inside.
No, but
you say that, but Jesus wouldn't have done so well as a god if he was ugly. Would he? This is a radical point of heresy, but it's true.
I don't know if we don't know what he looked like. What, you're basing this on the Shroud?
I'm basing it on Robert Powell.
He wasn't... he wasn't the original Jesus. He's just one of his helpers.
Yeah, but Jesus went out with Mary Magdalene, who looked nice on the outside, but was a dirty, rotten whore on the inside.
No, she was a slag on
the inside. We all like that. Isn't
inside,
that?
She was a slag.
That's a good thing.
Generally, godheads are quite attractive. The only one who isn't, who Richard looks a bit like, is Buddha. But he's still quite a good-looking fat bloke. Not Richard. Not only Richard is. But does anyone in the audience have anything to say about this? Because... there are lots of people who really thought this was true. So, Cherie Smith. Cherie, tell us why you really think this is true.
Well, I think it's true because I've been out with some really horrible people. But okay. I thought they were
really... Can I tell you straight away, I'm not Claire Rayner.
This is like Trisha.
No, but I mean, you just... I've been out with fat people, thin people, old people, young people.
You're a bit of a slag, basically.
I think it's what you like on the inside. It's your personality, because you can see it in somebody's eyes.
No, but they might be a really lovely person. This is true.
Marty Feldman was a lovely person. Yeah.
Marty Feldman was a lovely person, but really had frightening eyes.
Yeah, but he's got funny eyes.
Yeah, but that's my point. That doesn't mean he's a nasty person.
No, they've got to have nice eyes.
It's on the outside.
You see, looks do matter, you see.
Most people have got, you know, you can look, just look at them.
But what, isn't she just saying that it is appearance that matters?
Yeah, what you're saying is it really matters. Is what
you're
saying.
You look at their nice mouth.
Just like when you walked in, Sue, I was outside having a cigarette, and I looked in your eyes, and I thought...
She's gay.
Oh, that's how it works.
I thought she's really nice. She's really nice. She could turn me, yes.
thank you, Cherie. That's great. Can we hear from...
Somebody's eyes.
All right, Cherie. Somebody's eyes. We know. Can we hear from Alex Underwood? I'd like to hear from a man on this, because it's men in general who are supposed to think that looks do matter.
A friend of mine went out last week and ended up scoring a very nice-looking girl until he went back with her and found out she was a man. To which I'm standing up for him by saying it's one underneath that counts.
Right? Yeah, you're saying that. Yeah. When you say a friend of mine...
Very, very close to me.
Yeah. Good. Well, I tell you, that's an interesting point. When I say what's under... When we talk about what's underneath, I think we mean what's underneath their pants. I think we mean... an internal personality thing, don't we? Isn't that what we mean?
Actually, underneath their clothes, I'll go for that. It's
what's underneath their clothes?
I judge a woman by her breasts, that's why. I think if you really look at her breasts, you find out what her personality is like.
We're going to move on. Perhaps I can finish with a quote. What we need to do is find beauty in places where others have not dared to look, including inside ourselves. That was said by Salma Hayek, who would know, of course, being a big old munter. Now it's time for our second received opinion, please.
I believe that children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty.
Whitney Houston there, expressing her belief in the importance of giving children moral guidance by singing about it, rather than by allowing her husband to beat her up whilst on crack. Anyway, the point is... Dear old Whitney. Yes. Anyway, the point is, 77% of this audience agree with our second received opinion, which we've described as we must look to our children, by which we mean the idea, an absolute building block of our culture, surely, that the people we have to worry about first and foremost are children. How can that be wrong, Peter Bradshaw, you heartless paedophile?
Oh, please. I don't know, what always annoys me when people say, oh, children are the most important thing, what they mean is, my children are the most important thing. Mm. They are much more important than your children.
Yeah.
Which in turn is a coded way of saying, I am more important than you. But what always gets me is this thing where, whenever you talk to somebody about their children, you have to say, oh, have you got pictures? Let me see pictures. The first time somebody did this to me, this very good friend of mine insisted on showing me a picture of her 8-month-old daughter, and I didn't know how I was supposed to react. So I said the first thing that came into my head, and I said, oh my God, she looks like the young Malcolm Muggeridge. And it has taken... which was absolutely accurate.
Yeah.
But it's taken 18 months of continuous apology and grovelling on my part to make up for this truth. Although, but it was absolutely true, and I was new to the whole business.
I think you've ruined it now, haven't you, by reiterating on the radio that she gave birth to the young Malcolm Muggeridge.
I know.
Sue, you're a big Liz.
I'm gay, therefore childless, barren, and worthless to society.
But if you could be interested in the subject...
You could be interested in the future of humanity, yeah. Sue.
What do you think, theoretically?
Yes, I'm a pariah. I think children are incredibly important, and we should look to our children, and I personally would love to have children, because if I don't, I know that I'll never be able to say key phrases such as, you're not leaving looking like that, you look like a prostitute, and the other phrase, you treat this place like a hotel. But also, the children being the next generation, how else are you going to, pour into them all your own failed dreams and disappointments?
Actually, one thing about children is this: the idea for this show came to me when I was watching a TV show, and actually Frank Skinner was on it.
So you're a visionary.
I am a visionary, yeah. Frank Skinner was on it, and it was a discussion programme, and they started talking about pornography. And Tamara Beckwith, not known for thinking outside the box, to be honest, said this thing. She said, well, the thing I worry about pornography is if children get hold of it. And Frank said this thing. He said, why do we have to debate everything that we do in our society in terms of what might happen to children? You know, there are other people in our culture apart from children. What about what adults want? What do you think about that, Richard?
No, I agree with that. It's the character in The Simpsons who keeps on going, will somebody please think of the children every time anything happens. And it is really annoying because you think, well, I want to see some swearing on TV.
Yes.
Well, I haven't got any kids, so they should come into my house. I should be allowed. You know, I'm not going to show it to some kids. But, you know, I'd like to listen to it myself.
Yes.
And it's a shame that, you know, that kids are seen as being this important. I'm the opposite of a paedophile. I hate children.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm the literal... paedophiles like children, that's what it means.
Yes,
childlike.
Oh, I know what it means.
I hate children.
Yeah.
Although without children, there would be no paedophiles. So if we could get rid of them, that would be a big section of society.
Brilliant.
They're probably the most evil section of society. Would be wiped out.
If there were no children.
So
it's
kind of, in a way, is it the kids' fault?
We'd be wiped out as well.
In a way, that's all I'm saying, in a sense.
Yes. Carry on.
But I think babies are disgusting. If you had a plastic bag full of all the bodily fluids that a baby excretes in a day, you wouldn't
it on eBay.
You wouldn't hug it and care for it and take photos of it. You'd flush it down the toilet where it belongs. And that's what...
Again, I'm worried what you're going to say next.
There's the essential covering. It's what's on the outside that matters to the baby.
And I think it's a serious point. It's interesting that parents sort of say, oh, I'll do anything for my kids. I love my kids and they're the most important thing. But then they'll drive around in SUVs because they think that's important for their kids, which is destroying the planet, which our kids are going to grow up for. I'm amazed that, I'm going to be dead in 5 years. I live a kind of profligate lifestyle and I've made myself deliberately unattractive women to mean that I will never procreate.
Talking about paedophiles,
stop going on.
No, sorry, just something I noticed, which is not quite on the point, but I wanted to say it, which is that when Gary Glitter got done in Vietnam, did anyone see that? Did anyone watch it happening?
Yeah.
There was a very weird moment when, after he got sentenced, he started saying, it's a conspiracy, it's a conspiracy, and someone shouted out, by who, right? And he went, you know who. And I thought, who does he mean? Alvin Stardust? Right? And I never knew who that was. He still hasn't said.
Other glam rock luminaries. trying to bring him down.
And also, one other thing, when I was researching this, rather oddly, I went to the BNP site. I didn't go to the BNP site, I went to the BNP site because I got frightened because they'd won so many seats in Dagenham and Barking, and I thought I would have to wear a yellow star quite soon. And so I went to their site just to check whether that was something I had to do now. And I noticed that their motto is working to secure a future for British children, which I think really plays into this idea of like, oh yeah, well, you know, children, they're the most important thing. And yet here we are, the most odious people in the world are focusing on children. I notice they say British children. Yes. You know, if that was working to secure a future for Britain's children, that could be a New Labour motto. But just by saying British it's become
children.
A BNP motto.
And also there's something, using the word children in a political context is quite close to fascism. It's second only to referring to your country as a land.
Yeah.
That's the keynote of fascism. Well, not this country, but this land.
Yes. Yeah, Hitler did have the same idea as well about the kids, didn't he, with the Hitler Youth?
Yes, totally. Yes.
But, you know, the Pope was in the Hitler Youth. He's grown up.
Yes, that's true. So we should all join the Hitler Youth, is what we're saying. And I think we need to go to the audience on this. I want to know if anyone agrees that as a society, we've become too worried about children and too child-centric. Hello, what's your name?
Eleanor.
Hello, Eleanor.
I'm one of these pariahs like Sue. I'm not gay, but...
Fine, yeah.
That's so great.
Once again, let's reiterate how alone I am.
How utterly isolated. Yeah.
That's fantastic that she said she was like you and a pariah and then immediately distanced herself from you.
Because it's better to be alone than gay. Yeah.
Sorry, Eleanor, yes.
No, I don't like children either. I've never had any and I'm well past it. It really irritates me. You go to a nice restaurant for a nice quiet meal and you've got kids chucking pizzas about and, no, don't do that. Oh, he's doing it anyway. Oh, don't do that. I mean, okay, I don't like smoking either, but I'd rather go into a smoky restaurant than one that's full of kids running riot.
You'd rather get cancer than have children around. That is extreme.
Okay, I think we need to move on. I'm going to finish with another quote, PJ O'Rourke this time, who pointed out that humans are the only species who have children on purpose, apart from guppies who eat theirs. Which I think is a bit unfair because I don't think guppies, apparently they only eat their children if they're really hungry, apparently.
To be fair,
guppies, yeah. And now for our last received opinion of the evening. Some of our regular listeners will know occasionally our received opinions come packaged simply in the form of X or Y being a good thing or a bad thing. We have in our time questioned whether Starbucks is a. Bad thing. Yes, that was a bad thing. And whether education is a. Yes, radical indeed. But for me, this one is the killer.
And I would just like to remember some words of St. Francis of Assisi, which I think are really just particularly apt at the moment. Where there is discord, may we bring harmony.
Margaret Thatcher there, sounding as ever like a ludicrous headmistress who's overdone the HRT. Did you notice, by the way, that when she mentioned St. Francis of Assisi, there gets a big cheer? Like she's introducing the sugar bait or something.
He was the best saint. Yeah. Miles.
He was skilled, wasn't he?
But Margaret Thatcher is a woman who, more than any other, represents for a generation the ultimate hate figure. And there's been no forgiveness with time. Norman Johnson, writing on the occasion of her 80th birthday in The Guardian last year, said, I'll punch the guy who says he hates Thatch more than me. If anything, I hate her more today, from the top of her mad, shrunken old bonce to the tip of her gnarly toes. Sounds like the 103-year-old woman. But tonight we're going to question it. It's hard for me actually even to say, but was Margaret Thatcher a... 52% of our audience agree that Margaret Thatcher was a bad thing, but was she, Sue Perkins? Was she actually the ultimate villainess, the Cruella de Vil of politics, or was she just someone with a really terrible voice and hairdo?
It's very, very hard for me to come up with a good thing about Margaret Thatcher. Like most people my age, she grew up under her slavish mad dog reign. But I will say this for her. She has done something that I don't think any other right-wing politician has managed to do, which is to create siblings who can carry on winning landslide votes. Carol Thatcher, of course, won a landslide vote. Mm. And Mark Thatcher, of course, tried to, with the aid of a Chinook and some military...
Mark Thatcher did that thing, didn't he, where he was apparently involved in a plot to overturn the government of Papua New Guinea. And I always thought, how does that happen? Yeah. You accidentally get involved in that. That's never happened to me.
He was in a Starbucks near the equator.
Yeah, very strange thing. Richard, you, I know, are very also find it very difficult to accept that she might have been in any way not a bad thing.
It is. This is I think what this show's about, because it's such a received opinion. I've grown up just hating Mrs. Thatcher, and just without even thinking about why. So it's really, really interesting to think about why and to decide if there was anything good about her. It was very,
come up with anything.
It was very, very difficult. I have looked into it. She did do some good things when she was younger. She supported the bill to decriminalise male homosexuality. Not female, unfortunately, you, Sue, but male. Yeah. And she
was she like Queen Victoria? She didn't believe that existed.
Maybe it was that. And she voted in favour of the bill to legalise abortion. Now, I agree with her on both those things. So she didn't. She isn't completely bad. She did those things. She was the milk snatcher, which is good, because I hated having milk at school. So that was a really great thing.
Can I tell you a real thing while you're just in passing? I actually read someone say that Wayne Rooney's injury was her fault. Because, seriously, because they said because she was the milk snatcher, kids of his age were growing up with brittler bones, right? And it was, that's why. And if that's true, I hate her.
Well, maybe.
But I'm not sure it is.
She had sex with Dennis Thatcher, which no one else would have done. And there's a chance that if she hadn't done that, Dennis Thatcher might have become a sex pest.
Yes.
So that's
yes.
I'm not saying he would have done, but there's a chance.
Can I tell you something else about that, which is in my research, I found this is incredible. It's true. You can buy a DVD called Married to Maggie, The Dennis Thatcher Story, right? Now, what is the Amazon chart position of that? It must be like a number beyond quantum physics, like what they used to measure a black hole.
But I also think, seriously on it, I mean, you do so accept that she was bad, but, you know, there is an argument that she modernised the British economy.
Yeah.
And we can complain about it as much as we want, because you can say, well, I hate her, but we're actually all reaping the benefits of going through that 15-year period where we had to go through unpleasantness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Peter Branshaw.
Well, I mean, we all do, us liberals, we say, oh, golly, Margaret Thatcher, if it wasn't her, we wouldn't have Sky Plus. You know, golly. I've got something to say which I'm afraid is going to make everybody hate me, and that is that I think she was right about the Falklands. I think she was right. Argentina was a fascist state, a real fascist state, not like us. They were a real fascist state, and we waged war on Argentina, which was a sort of tragedy, but we did it. We accelerated the end of fascism in Argentina, and we were right. We were right. And I think Margaret Thatcher... I know, see, I'm hated now. But it's hard for people to accept. And
it's not hard for all people to accept. I mean, we're talking about the kind of liberal left, of which we all kind of grew up with.
Yeah,
lots
I know.
People
I
might
mean,
not
I...
think that. But what's hard for the left to accept is that she was a radical. She was by far the most radical prime minister we've had since Attlee, and probably more so.
Absolutely. Yeah. The other thing she introduced is the Enterprise Allowance Scheme, which is a sort of Thatcherized dole in all but name, which almost every radical stand-up comedian in the 80s was on.
I did. But also, she invented alternative comedy. So three people on this panel wouldn't be here without Mrs. Thatcher to create the vacuum that was alternative comedy. And unfortunately, it created Ben Elton, and that went on to be one of her biggest aberrations, I think, in the future.
Yes,
and one of her
attacks,
biggest successes is the most Thatcherite person.
Whenever anybody attacks Thatcher, I always think of Ben Elton and his collaboration with Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yes, who's going to leave the country,
But I don't hate Ben Elton for collaborating with Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber. Go ahead, Ben.
I do. I'd rather he'd collaborate with the Nazis.
Is it true that she also had a hand in inventing the Mr. Whippy, the soft ice cream? Was this?
That's true, yeah.
No, that was Douglas Hurd, I think.
Because if she did, I think that is one good thing, because that kind of, you know, horrible drone of a pederast van as it kind of pulls up at the beach is brilliant, because it does remove all the children from the sand so that you can play.
It's true. As an industrial chemist at Oxford, she invented Whippy ice cream.
Did she really?
No, she invented one of those sort of chemical processes which go into making number 99.
And she was quite sexy when she was young.
I definitely would.
Proves it's not what you like inside. Yeah.
Inside it's just levers and pulleys, I think.
I think as well, part of that sense of, or the sort of, the sense that we might be recasting what Thatcher was like is due to archive film, isn't it? Because Britain in 1979, we now think, was a very crap place because of the film. Because it's always very kind of weird, greasy light, isn't it? And people all look terrible, and I think, and the Baron Knights are in it and stuff. And, And we feel that Margaret Thatcher changed all that, because video sort of starts about 1981, and nothing looks quite as bad anymore.
Things are better, though, generally, for most people. Yeah, than they were. It might not be because of her, but, you know, the 1970s were pretty crap.
No, they were crap, but that, of course, there was lots of technological improvements, which had nothing to do with her, apart, obviously, from the Mr. Whiffy, which I don't know.
In a way, you could say that she sort of destroyed the left wing, because if you look at what the left wing had to do in order to become elected, they had to steal the middle ground, which effectively destroyed the kind of pendulum left-right politics that debate in general and British kind of system in particular is based upon.
No, you lost me there. We have a few people in the audience who think this. Okay, what about Dave Wadron? You think she was a bad thing?
I do, yes.
Tell me why.
Well, I think that the whole Chav population now are sort of Thatcher's children.
Right.
That there's no industrial base. That there's no sort of, like, you know, everyone either works in a Quick Save, Netto's.
Netto's?
Yeah.
What's that?
It's a shop for real people, then.
Yeah, shop for real people. Shop for the populace.
Right. Right, carry on.
I'm 30 now and can't afford a house in London. All the council houses sold in the 80s and 90s for next to nothing. Another generation has moved on, sold them for sort of £200,000 and it's all falling to bits.
Yeah. You're right, she was a terrible person.
She was bad, but she wasn't all bad. If she wasn't a politician, she's a great British eccentric. When you hear, we are a grandmother, and if that was anyone else, it wasn't a politician, you think, she's crazy, I love her. And she was good when the Brighton bomb, and she got on, she's got on with the festival, that was good.
You love her now.
I love her, I do.
You
it's really turned me around.
Turned around.
In fact, she's turned into one of the old ladies you have to get off.
Yeah, exactly.
Who were the 48% that thought she wasn't so bad?
Yeah, you're evil.
There were quite a few.
Who are, the 48% who thought she wasn't good.
Yeah, that seemed to be quite high. Actually,
yeah, can we hear from someone who thought Thatcher was a good thing? What's your name, sir?
I'm James.
Hello, James.
Okay, this is short but sweet. I think she just made politics a little bit more interesting.
Right.
If you've just got politicians that aren't very radical, no one really gets that interested, particularly my age group.
Yeah.
And you don't really get out of bed. I'm 25.
So what's your memories of Margaret Thatcher?
Yes, exactly. Most of my memories come from what Adrian Mole wrote about her.
Right.
That's actually, yeah, it's not a historical document.
I'm going to end it there. So thank you very much for being here. I'd like to thank my panellists, Richard Herring, Sue Perkins and Peter Bradshaw. I'd like to thank you, the audience. If you do want to send a received opinion in for us to discuss, remember the website is heresy@bbc.co.uk. That's it. Good night. And remember, everything you know is wrong.
Heresy was presented by David Baddiel and produced by Alison Vernon-Smith. And next week's guests include Stuart Lee and Victoria Corrin. And if you'd like to send in your received opinion, the email address is heresy@bbc.co.uk. The programme is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4. Well, Lillian will be releasing her inner creativity in the Arches in a couple of minutes, and I'm not sure what's scarier, Lillian in creative mood or Humphrey Lyttelton as Alan Sugar.
Humphrey Lyttelton is a self-made man who appears to have lost the instructions.
Jeremy, sing Jenny Murray to the tune of Sue Lawley.
What?
Not quick enough. You're fired.
Two teams of hopeful young pensioners compete to become Humphrey's apprentice, complete with a two-figure salary and their own company cardigan.
Barry, Graham and Tim, you're fired. Colin, you're a lightweight. You're fired too. And you lot, what are you gawping at? You're all fired.
That was the audience.
Shifty-looking pair.
The new series of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, coming soon to BBC Radio 4.
BBC Radio 4, the news at 7 o'clock. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr.